Hi, everyone. Russ Thomas here from RST Coaching Academy. Welcome to a new episode of Money Talks, where we talk about money and how to make more of it.
Hey there, everybody on internet land out here. This is Russ with RST Coaching Academy, coming to you with another edition of Money Talks, where we talk about money and how to make more of it. If you've been following me in this program for some time, you know that I have a variety of guests on here to interview and to pick their brains. And today is another one of those unique individuals. We're going to talk to Pamela Clay, a new friend of mine from Hollywood, California. She works with Living Advantage and she helps high-risk foster kids. So she's going to have a lot to say about that, I'm sure. But we want to find out right off how the heck she got into this line of work. It's a nonprofit, but nevertheless, there needs to be cash flow. There needs to be business transpired to get money in the coffers to pay what needs to be paid. So we want to learn about all of that. And so Pamela, thank you for stopping by. Thank you for spending, I don't know, 30 minutes, 40 minutes or whatever with us and telling us about yourself, about Living Advantage, what you do, how you help these kids, and some advice that you can offer to some of our viewers too that might be in a situation like that, know somebody that is, or are thinking about a nonprofit for themselves. So we'll cover that later. But anyway, take it away, Pamela.
Well, thank you, Russ. I'm excited to be here. First of all, I'd like to say I did not know this was going to be a video podcast. So whoever, thank you for your audio, but I did not plan. This is not how I would like to look for my video. So I just want everybody to know that part.
Looking good.
Oh, well, no, actually, I'm not prepared at all for video, but here we are. We're going for it because I love the topic of, you know, what you're speaking on. How do you provide support services and how do you, give the proper advancements for our kids and have an income, right? How are we doing this for 30 years? So the history is that my mom and my best friend wanted to kind of continue their efforts and working with at-risk youth. Eugenia Wilson, which is the program director, she came from the juvenile camps in Southern California. And that is more of intervention, right? She's at the camps working with our young juvenile kids. And my mom worked for the Los Angeles Unified School Districts for 27 years. And her background was specific to special ed. She was in aphasia. She had her degree in speech pathology, dealing with aphasia, kids that had trouble learning. Well, out of her almost three decades, she realized that the majority of the issues were more emotional and mental. They weren't necessarily that kids could not learn. They had learning disabilities. It wasn't generally a disability. It was more emotional and mental. So, and then of course, dealing with the camps, why are the kids' behaviors acting out? Why are they, doing illegal, have illegal issues going on? And generally, again, it's emotional and mental, family upbringing, and those sorts of situations. I was at the time a real estate investor, and I figured one of my business partners said that their family had group homes. And so my mom wasn't familiar with group homes, and so they're called group homes, foster care.
Oh,
group homes, GROUP, homes, which could be similar to like a family foster home, right? But group homes are when kids have behavioral issues, more or less, behavior challenges. And so when I went to go take a look at it, at a group home that was ran by another family, I just thought we could do a much better job, more holistic, more, just more inviting, a nice home, right, where, kids could have, a little better quality of life. Yeah. So I was supposed to be the investor. And then my mom, Bernice Clay, and my very good friend and business partner, Eugenia Wilson, they were going to run the home. And as you can see, 30 years later, who's sitting here, right? Who's sitting at the helm?
Funny how
my
things
mom.
work out.
Yes. Yeah. What do you say? Just have a plan and let's see it. Let's see what happens when you get a plan, right?
So you said
So,
you were an investor in this to get
yes, my background is real estate investment, real estate finance. That's
Okay.
my background.
All right. So you had the cash flow to be able to basically front this operation. Awesome.
So my mom had gotten some health issues, and it was whether or not we had already made some investments, but not too far in. We only had our toe in the water. And something, and I said, well, should we kind of lose our little few thousand dollars, or should we go forward? And of course, me with bright ideas, well, I said, well, how hard could it be? And so we're here today. And you know, in life, I wouldn't change my little world for anything. I mean, what better opportunities, or what better way to live your life in serving and helping young people who really need the support more than anyone, right?
Did
you have to
did
figure
anybody in your family come from a foster environment?
No. No, I had no idea even what a foster group home was supposed to be. I had no idea that kids didn't have the support of their family. I came from a mom, dad, brother, sister, dog, cat, aunt, uncle. I came from a very robust family history. Our foundation is very, very, my dad's dad, he just died at 108 years old. So we come from a very strong family,
awesome.
But guess what? That's why I think we're so good at our job. I think that's why Living Advantage, if you go to our website, livingadvantageinc.org, livingadvantageinc.org, if you go to our website, you'll see the family dynamics that we started. Also, my business partner, her family dynamics are really strong. So I think that's why we're so good at our job with our kids. So again, just to make this long story short, 30 years to sum it up, we started the home. We did almost a decade and a half with just group homes. And I realized we can make a much larger impact. And it also had to do with funding, right? We're spending millions of dollars running two or three group homes where we could take that money and give more direct service to hundreds of thousands of kids. So that's why now we went virtual. Instead of a brick and mortar home, we went to a hybrid situation. We do a lot of virtual workshops, virtual support, and also we go door, you know, we go into the group homes and to the schools, and we deal directly with our kids.
You still have your own group home?
No, we do not. We
okay.
We transferred that out to being contracted with the county and with the cities to be able to go directly to the homes,
okay.
The camps. We go to the camps, group homes, and schools.
So this way, you're still working directly with the kids, or are you working mostly with the foster care people?
No. We work directly with kids.
You do, okay.
So now we just get to directly go where they are. So if they're in the group homes, if they're in the camps, and then of course at the schools where you have thousands of kids that we can actually service. Just because a kid is not, you know, legally considered foster care, they still have high risk, and so we target those kids.
Wowee. And I suppose you have a program that you a child comes into the program and you probably take them through step one,
assessment.
Two, three, four, five.
Yes. So we have assessments, and then we have trainings, and then of course pre and post tests. So we have a formula to assess to see just where the young adult, where it's calling my kid. So no offense to the young people when I call them kids or my children. But that's what I call them. I call them my kids. So when my kids initially come in, we assess them. We figure out where they are. Like of course, what their age bracket, their age group, what area they're from. So you have your demographics, of course, your geographics, and then it targets some of their needs and some of their wants, right? That's where case management. That's where our social service component comes in. So we have an educational side where we make sure one of our programs, it's called Living Advantage Dropout Prevention, right? So we prevent them from dropping out and making sure that they're showing up at school on time, that they're actually coming to school, and then that they're graduating on time from school.
Right? Wow. So you're strictly, you're working on site. It sounded like.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So how what kind of a diameter, how big is your reach from your location in Hollywood?
We're all through LA County and Riverside County.
All through the county?
All through LA County. So one of our main areas is USC Family of Schools. So the USC neighborhood, USC Family of Schools, it's about, I think, around 10 schools from elementary to high school.
Uh-huh.
We service those. We service group homes in Riverside. And we just opened a youth center. We actually just signed in the papers for a youth center. So we're really excited behind that. That's going to be Crenshaw, the Crenshaw Corridor. It's in that area, South Central Los Angeles. So we get to deal with schools like Crenshaw High, Dorsey High, High School, LA, Los Angeles High School. So we get to deal with some mid-city, South Central schools as well.
I see. And so you're working with grade school all the way up through high school, I assume?
Yeah, we target 12, so teenagers. Oh. 12 to like 24 years old. Because some of the camps... Some of the juvenile camps have kids up to 20, 24, I think it is.
24 years old. Okay.
Yes.
Wow.
But we service all foster, former foster youth. And we don't care what their age is. Sometimes think about it. You know, young adults, even when they have a family, a full family, mom and dad, sometimes they might run into a speed bump at 35, right? They might say, hey, mom, dad, I need, that's, we're the mom and dads of foster care.
Cool. Well, I've heard that kids, they don't really emotionally, they don't mature totally emotionally until they're about 25. And so working with them until they're in that age is probably a really great support to help them keep their heads on straight when they want to fly off emotionally. And you say, oh, no, use your head on this one, you know, be a little more logical. And that can be a challenge for a high, strong, emotional kid, I'm sure, of any age.
For sure. I'm almost 61, and that's a tough challenge for me.
Oh, wow. Does a kid come to you and say, I need help? Or does, say, the administrators of this group home or the school recommend you to them or them to you? What then happens? Does the kid typically say, oh, I'm so glad that you're working with me? Or are they dragging their feet every step of the way?
Well, Rush, you know, an average teenager doesn't want to be told what to do. So at the schools, we get referrals. The teachers will say, hey, you know, these are a group of kids that really need assistance, whether... I don't know if you know the statistics about being absent and or being tardy to school. The higher the tardy that children have, the higher the absentees that they have, the higher the risk of dropping out of school.
No
right?
Doubt.
So
they're
those kids,
engaged, aren't they?
Yes.
Say, I don't need this. I don't want to be here. Okay. What do
right.
you do about that?
Absolutely. So the schools are referrals. The group homes, when we call the foster care group homes, when we call them, we let them know, hey, we're here for any type of support that our kids need. So a lot of times we'll say, well, hey, you know, some of these kids might need educational or some social services, or we service the whole group home. So it all depends on when we're calling and introducing ourselves. It depends on they might refer us, or they might just, you know, allow us to work with all of the kids. Oh, and then at the camps, we know that they need additional transitional support services, right? So all of the kids at the camps, they know, we know, and their probation officer knows. But a lot of times trying to convince them that they need us, that could be
That's
a challenge.
Yeah. Even in my business of training, sales training, and business coaching, the client needs to finally realize, hey, I can't do this alone. I need help. And the kid needs to come up along to that realization too. I suppose some of these kids, they're from totally broken homes, and that's probably added to their dysfunctional life because they're in a dysfunctional environment. It's got to be kind of hard to counteract that mess, don't you think?
Absolutely.
Don't you think?
Absolutely. When we one of the reasons why we transitioned out of having just group homes is because a lot of times the Department of Children and Family Service, they want to do reunification, right? That's the goal, is to getting the kid back with the family. And unfortunately, that's what the issues are. Sometimes it's the family, it's the mom and dad.
Oh, yeah.
So kids are the victims. Our kids, just because they might have a behavior, you know, challenge, or just because emotionally they might not be as mature. When you look at their statistics, they are victims. They need the support. An average youth in the foster care system moves around minimum of 7 times, and a lot up to 20 times, right? So if you have a kid that's moving literally from school to school to school, from home to home to home, how functional is he going to be when, you know, it's time for him to go to class on Monday morning at 9 o'clock, right? Or, you know, it's actually pretty early to be at school. What is it, around 8 o'clock? So you want a kid that's moved around at least minimum 7 times. And you have taught, I think it's 1 out of 3 kids have moved at least 20 times.
Oh.
So how functional and how much behavior, or how do you feel that they're going to be sitting in class really paying attention and getting straight A's, right?
Oh, yeah. What is the cause of all those 20 moves?
It's varies. It can be anything. Sometimes they want to reunify. You know, a lot of times it doesn't work out. So then they get moved back to a group home. Sometimes, depending on if they're in a family foster home and their behavior is too bad, then they go to group homes. And then sometimes they get in trouble, so they're in probation. Now they're at the juvenile camp. It's so many variances of why they move so many times. Sometimes the kids, it's just not a match. That house or that environment is just not a match for them, so they move somewhere else.
Wow.
So a lot of times it's a relative care, right? They might be with grandma a couple of years, or they might be with auntie for 1 year. Then they go to uncle for nothing. So many variances of why they move so much.
So they end up very disconnected.
Yes,
yeah.
Absolutely. And our job as a Living Advantage, our job is to make sure they don't fall through the crack, right? Yeah. We are the bridge. We're that conductor to make sure that they stay consistent as they're moving, you know, from home to home, school to school, you know, sometimes different counties. You know, they might be in, you know, let's say they're in Los Angeles City, then they end up in Inglewood, right? I mean, or they end up in Reseda. So all these variances really is a big hindrance for our kids.
Right. Have you had, now, in all these years, going all the way back to your own group home, how many kids have you worked with, would you say, in those years?
Oh, that's easy. We work with an average of about, 12 years, we did an average of about 40 kids a year. So that's 12 years. Hey, I can figure it out for you. 40 times 12, that's 480.
Yeah.
And then we have 480, and then you have 30 minus 12, and then times about 3. So we work with 54 plus, so that's 5,400 plus 480, 54, yep, plus 480. So we work with about 6,000 kids.
Wow.
Because you have to think about some years, like last year, we did a super huge event. It was a clothing drive. Beverly Hills, one of the Beverly Hills Chamber of Commerce partnered with the Firehouse in Beverly Hills. And we had just a 2-hour clothing drive where people from the Beverly Hills community dropped off all of their clothes. Oh my goodness. The reception that we had from the kids at the school,
yeah.
I didn't know kids love secondhand clothes that much. Mm-hmm. It was such a huge, we serviced in 1 day over 250 kids. That was just 1 day.
Wow.
The duplication of those kids were only about 40. So unduplicated kids in 1 day, we serviced over 200 kids.
Wow.
So when we do events with our kids, we get a pretty high number of kids that we support and work with.
How do you measure success in this?
We measure success by ensuring that their grades are average or increase.
Uh-huh.
We measure success by how many of our participants graduate from high school.
Hmm.
We measure success by how many resources and services we're able to provide them.
Okay.
So let's look at the schools. That's because it's so super simple. You have a kid that was referred to us. You can easily look at his report card and see that prior he had 22 tardies, right? And then you can look at working with us, he only had 10 tardies. So that's kind of how we measure success. As long as we're improving, giving our youth a better quality of life.
Cool, great. When it comes to high school graduation, that's an ultimate victory, no doubt, is to get them to put on the cap and gown and to get through high school.
Yes.
Do you have a sense for what that percentage success rate is?
Oh, absolutely. So on an average, with youth that have been in the foster care system, the average youth that graduate, only 52%. Actually, it's 49%. It's less than half of our kids graduate from high school. 49%. Living Advantage rate is at 78%.
No kidding.
Yes. Wow. Yeah. Well, we literally inspire and motivate our kids of the importance. They might not understand that. And I usually target, so as this whole podcast is about finance, right? Money, right?
Yeah.
I target and I work with my youth based on money. So I tell them the statistics of a kid that doesn't graduate from high school, the income, I have the stats, but the income is only 20% totally plunders.
Yeah.
Usually they're in poverty. And then secondly, they make, on an average, they're 20%. They're only at 20% the level as if they would graduate. Uh-huh. So you have an 80% more chance of making way more money if you graduate from high school. So that always gets them.
Heck yeah. I mean, that's, they're going to need money the rest of their lives.
Exactly.
Do you provide any career assessment or counseling after testing, that kind of thing?
Well, absolutely. That's one of our big hits. We do career. We have a virtual service. Well, it's hybrid because we like to do it in person, but it's life skills, which includes vocational, entrepreneurial, opportunities. And so we train them in that area. And we do an aptitude test to actually figure out what their strengths are, right? Mm-hmm. What are their strengths? What are they, or what should they, right? You have to kind of use that. What should they be good at, right? Because a lot of times, you'll say you might be good at something, but that might not be their interest. So again, you have to kind of pique their interest as to where their strengths lie.
Yeah, my wife took an aptitude test when she was in high school. The thing came back and said she should become a nun.
Wow, interesting.
The,
see?
The thing is, the trouble is she was a Baptist. So
see, you never know.
That attested to her heart, basically.
Yes.
And stuff like that. Let's shift gears here a little bit, Pamela, and talk about business. All right.
Yes.
The business side of your nonprofit, where the money comes from, how it flows, and that kind of thing.
Absolutely, for sure. So, Living Advantage is based on contracts. Contracts. We get grants. So our multiple streams of income are contracts and grants.
Now, who will the contracts be from?
The contracts, they could be from the county. We have LA County Probation. Contracts can be from different funders, right? So we have certain contracts. And then we also have grants that, prime example, one of our longest, dearest, but also most supportive partner is USC, University of Southern California. They provide us with a grant. You have to apply for it every year, but they supply us with a grant. Within that grant, we also have another funding contract It's called the Work Study. It's a federal grant that they actually pay 2/3 of a cost of a staff. So those are multiple streams of income and multiple streams of funding that over the 30 years that we have been privileged to understand and have those opportunities. So you have contracts with the county, you have federal contracts, you have foundation support and funding, and then of course you have revenue for actual services. So let's say with Riverside County, we actually it's a procurement. So it's a contract, but it's based on the actual amount of services that you provide, and then you get funded for it.
I see. Okay, just like just like professionals.
Yes, just like Amazon. Yep, Amazon.
For it. Yeah.
Yep. Amazon, you pay for a product, you pay for our services.
Right. Now, on the county side, on the contract side with the county, funding, do those kind of things come with strings attached?
Absolutely. You have all type of a particular, very specific statement of work, right? What exactly you're supposed to do? What forms have to be built out, the reporting, you have to report every quarter, and so on and so forth. The only thing that doesn't come with strings are our individual donors. That's why you guys are so important. Make sure you go to livingadvantageinc.org and become an individual donor. Now that's when we're able to service anybody we want to in any format. We don't necessarily have to make sure they're signing on all these documents, or they have to be live in a particular zip code or be a certain age. I mean, we can service anybody that comes through our doors who needs what we provide.
I see. Back on this contract and strings attached, when we were up in Wisconsin, living in Wisconsin, the church we attended started a daycare center, and the leadership, the administrators, decided they did not want to go to the city, the county, or the state for funding because of the strings that would be attached, particularly when this was a religious organization. They didn't want them saying, you can't do this, you can't teach that. So they stayed away from it. That's why I asked the question that, what kind of strings, and they expect certain performance, no doubt, but then they must have guidelines as to like what you can and cannot do, I suppose.
For sure, yes.
How big is your staff?
Right now we're doing some onboarding, we're doing some recruiting, because we just got into a partnership with Amity Foundation for the Youth Center. So right now we have an average staff of about 5 or 6, but now we're adding, we have some part-time for case management and tutors. Oh, so I'm sorry, I forget about the tutors and the Riverside staff. So it's about 10, but now we're hiring about 10 more staff. So hopefully in the next 3 months, in the next quarter, we'll have at least 20 staff members.
So you're doing all this right now with just 10 people?
Oh, absolutely. Well, we've been very, the use of electronics, we've been literally very up to speed with Zoom for over a decade. We were doing virtual service way before Zoom became popular. So that's one of the ways we're able to connect with our kids and connect with our community, is through utilizing, electronic services.
Oh, that's awesome. And then I suppose with the Zoom things, you're reaching multiple people in one session?
At the same time, yes.
What's your average attendee count?
Oh, I think it's around 30, I think, give or take.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, give or take on an average, because we do different things. I think we only had a couple of actual, events. But like our weekly services are generally, one-on-one with kids, because they're doing tutoring. And then you might have some groups within the group homes. Average, we're looking, when it came and actually everything went down because everybody was so scattered and running around with the head cut off. So we were increasing, but then when COVID came, it just plummeted. And then that's when we got a big surge for a request for our virtual services.
Yeah, that's awesome. You mentioned Zoom. You're using Zoom. years before, I never heard of it until pandemic thing struck. Never.
Really? Oh, wow. Yeah.
Now, now it's a household word.
Absolutely. Indeed. Yeah, we've been using Zoom for over a decade now. It's over a decade.
That's cool. Yeah. What kind of educational requirements do your staff members need to have?
When working with kids. So here's the thing, like my background is definitely not education. My background is more into financial, like exactly what you're talking about, dealing more with money, right? Even I can tutor a kid because to be honest with you, they're way smarter than we are. They just are not doing their work. So, you don't have to, of course, our educators, our tutors, I'm sure they, most of them, I don't do the hiring, but I'm sure the majority of them have degrees, and their education, have an educational background. But
it's
really,
nothing that it's nothing that you require, like an MS degree or a MBA or anything.
I don't do the hiring, but overall, have degrees. Most of our education people do, right? As a case manager, a support team, you don't necessarily have to have a big degree because working with kids is really about your heart. It's really about your heart. It has, it's about your passion with our kids because you can have a degree all you want, but that's not going to mean you're going to connect. Yeah. And what we need are people that can connect with our kids.
These kids, like all kids, are very intuitive.
Yes.
They read people, and you probably heard of this expression, they're not going to care how much you know until they know how much you care.
Oh, I like that.
You can write that down.
Yeah, I need to write. I'm going to play this back and make sure I get that written down.
Yeah, see your heart. They want to see your heart. And I think like you were saying, that's really more important than degrees, education, and so on and so forth.
Yes.
Now, we're here in Florida, mm-hmm. far away from your reach. What might you say to someone who is watching or listening that is in a situation of, rough childhood, foster type things, or knows somebody that is? Do you know of any organizations like yours that are over here in Florida, for example?
So what we do is we have a very robust CRM, a management, our contact management system. Uh-huh. Very robust. So you can still call Living Advantage and ask for different services. We work with kids, nationally. So that's not an issue. Yeah. If there's something that you feel you need or want, I'm sure Living Advantage can figure out, or we might already have a partnership. So if there's something that you can always call our office at 323-731-6471.
6471. 323-731-6431 or 71? 71. 71. Got it. Okay. Got that. Folks, you need any extra services, give Pamela a call. She's standing by right now to take
Now,
remember, if you're in Florida here on the East Coast, they're 3 hours way behind us. So she's going to be around for a while. Anyway, what else did I want to ask you? How about somebody that's thinking about starting a nonprofit?
Right. And here's my suggestion. I always tell people this, and I feel it's super important. Unless you already have, some really strong financial partners or backing or funders or contracts, your board of directors, you already have a board of directors that you've already worked with and they're action oriented. If you already are an entrepreneur and you already have a business and you want to do this just an add-on business, I say go for it. But if this is a passion and you want to really just work with kids, I always tell people work with a nonprofit that you're compatible with that services the same type of that works with the same type of programs and services you're interested in. I always tell people, work with a big organization first. See how it runs, see how it operates. See, you have to look at all of the, what you have to be eligible for. You have to get background checks. You have to get so many, you know, fine-tuned components of working with youth, working with young people, working in a nonprofit. Yeah. You want to work with a large company that, prime example, 30 years have been doing it. So you work with us, you'll know all the steps and everything you have to do. Then if you decide, you know what, I really want to open up my own, then I suggest do it. But work with a nonprofit first.
Good point.
Be a part of the board. Get on their board. See how the business of the operations work. And then also, you want to know the program, how they interact with the kids. You want to find that part out first. Because you're going to kind of have to pick, what do you really want? What is your passion? Is it to make sure you're servicing 1,000 kids, or is it making sure that one kid you do service gets the best opportunities?
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's great. And then I like the part about cash cow, so to speak, somebody that's got some funding to get the ball
yes.
rolling and doesn't need to depend on grants and contracts, at least to start the process going. That's really interesting. So, hey, I want to thank you for meeting with me today and let me pick your brain on behalf of myself and the audience who's going to be listening or viewing, and the things that are relevant and to the hearts of kids that, you know, they're tomorrow's leaders. And right. if they're not equipped, then Lord have mercy on the United States. So you're doing a noble thing. It's probably not a real lucrative deal, but pays your bills, I trust. And you've been doing it for 30 years, and it doesn't look like you're about to quit. You're only 61, so you've probably got another 40 years to go.
Are you kidding me? We're doing an exit plan now. It's time for us. You know, we've been doing it for 30, and we're really good at it. So we're expanding. We're getting it where it's super solid, you know, with our SOPs and, you know, with the type of administrative capacity that it takes to run a national organization, right? So we're excited behind that. So we look forward, if anybody's interested in becoming a board member, if they see the opportunities and they want to invest into, the kids that are our future, you know, www.livingadvantageinc.org. Definitely call us 323-731-6471. And we look forward to everybody. You have to be passionate. Well, you know, Russ, I'm going to say something I probably never said before. You have to be passionate, and you should have some money. That's who we're looking for, right? People that got a couple of bucks, but they love our kids. That's who we're looking for.
You know, I work with a fellow by the name of Grant Cardone, and one of his phrases is, "Who's got my money?"
That's right. That's right. All right.
Who's got my money? You know, the world says love makes the world go round, but I say business definitely helps to make the world go round. And cash
flow to eat.
Is part of that
yeah.
whole thing. So
we have to eat. We have to eat, and we need to be able to support other people.
Yeah. So you're for looking sure. for some cash cows, is what you're looking for.
Yeah, that would be nice. We look forward to it. Thank you so much, Russ.
All right. Appreciate you stopping by and pick your brain. And hey, you look great. So you're gonna look fine on the video.
Ah, thank you.
You're gonna sound fine on the audio too. So, folks, thanks again for tuning in and watching the program, listening to the program. Pamela's got a lot to say. You could just hear her heart coming out of her mouth as she was speaking about the passion that she has for those kids. And it's just really awesome. If it resonates with you, something that you'd like to become part of, you've got her information to contact her directly. She'd love to chat with you and get you going. If you're interested in doing a similar thing here, wherever you live, I'm sure she'd let you pick your brain for that as well.
Yeah,
offer some
for
advice
sure.
to get going. So, hey, this is Russ with RST Coaching Academy on Money Talks, saying if there's anything we can do to help you in your money-making activities, business or individual otherwise, give me a call, 386-286-2450 or rstcoachingacademy.com. Until next time, we will see you and listen to you and get your feedback. Tell us what you think of the program. All right, so we say over and out for now. We'll catch you next time. Bye-bye.
Hi, thanks for being here today for another episode of Money Talks. I hope it was informative and encouraging to you. If it struck a chord in your heart, or if you have any questions or comments, please let us know. Visit us at rstcoachingacademy.com, call 386-286-2450, or send an email to email@rstcoachingacademy.com. Thanks again, and until next time, be great.